was three different churches here yesterday. I know a bunch of ladies, I heard some, my daughter was telling me, Callie came home with a little chatterbox, her and Lindsay telling me that people were saying, when's next year, which is a blessing. I know Mrs. Rhonda Brown will be here next year as the devotion. Brother Brown will be our Christmas evangelist. Gotta grab the guy in advance. He's gone pretty quick, so we already booked him for next year, but she'll be here, so looking forward to that. But that was a blessing. Appreciate the lady, again, I mentioned this morning, appreciate the ladies who helped with that, who prepared, served, and just everything they did. And, you know, us men, we kind of dished things out, but we did very little. So I appreciate all you ladies running with it, and that was a blessing. And of course, I've never been to a ladies' banquet before. It's kind of different, but it was pretty neat. So, all right, okay, Matthew 6 tonight, Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 to 21. I'll give you a second to find it, Matthew 6, verse 19 and 21, if you would. Matthew 6, 19 and 21. Good to see you, folks. God bless you. It's good to have you tonight. Always good to be in the church family. Always love this church. I love being at Grace Baptist Church. I just love it. You know, we get weary, we get tired, and a lot of us probably are just running on empty. Some of us are. And it's good just being in church. Sometimes being in church, you know how tired you are. It's just good to get some preaching, and which is a blessing. So, and then you can pass that when you get home. Amen. So, Matthew 6, 19 and 21. Just stand if you could. Matthew 6, verse 19 and 21. And I mentioned the twins, Brother Miller's grandchildren having surgery. I talked to Nathan. He just said that one surgery's at 7:30. Other one's slated for like 11:30-ish, I think he said. And so just pray for them. And he said 11:31 will probably push up a little sooner because the 7:31 won't take that long. But just pray. The first one's at 7:30 for sure. So if you think about tomorrow, if you look at your clock tomorrow, 7:30, just if you would, say a word of prayer for those grandbabies there, Clayton and Caden Smith, if you would think of those two babies. And that would be a blessing to that family. All right. Matthew 6, 19 and 21, God's word says, beginning in verse 19, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And tonight, I want to preach a simple thought. It really is. You've heard these verses before, but a simple reminder for us in the matter of simply this, treasures. Treasures. Have a word of prayer, and you can be seated. Father, I love you. Lord, I thank you. I am thankful for Grace Baptist Church, Lord. I'm thankful. I just thought, thinking back earlier today, the 7.5 years of this church. And Lord, many of us in this room can give testimony of how you met their needs and blessed and helped and strengthened their family through this church and the ministries of it. Lord, I know it has nothing to do with me or even the people necessarily in it, everything to do with you. I do thank you for the wonderful people that we've been introduced to and now we call family. I thank you for them and how wonderful it is to be with God's people tonight, with our spiritual family, Lord. I pray you bless those who couldn't be here, meet their needs, strengthen them. And I pray you help those who are ill, help them. I think, again, of Mary, I think of those twins. I think of the surgeries and coming up here this week. I pray, thank you again for Dorita's testimony. Bless her. I think of others who are traveling and whatnot. I think of Brother Jeremy doing military. Bless that dear brother. I pray you be with the different folks in needs. Lord, help those with financial issues. I pray you bless them tonight and be with them. We love you and thank you now, Lord. Also, we ask in your name. Amen. God bless you, folks. You can be seated. All right. If you were to go back to the beginning of chapter 6, if I can, let me give you a simplistic overview of the chapter. I'm not going to read all the verses, but if you looked at it, as I was preparing this message, it was kind of interesting how everything ties together, which makes sense because God was the author of this whole book, and the whole thing ties together. It's such a harmony in it. But in verses 1 to 8 of chapter 6, the chapter we're in here tonight, Jesus Christ, he's saying, don't do things just to look spiritual so people can pat you on the back and say how wonderful you are. He mentions, I'm paraphrasing now, when you give to the poor or give to charity or help someone in need, don't make a scene of it. He says, do it in secret. Matthew 4 says this, that thine alms may be in secret, thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Listen, when you help those people in need, don't make a show of it. Don't make a scene of it. And God will reward you for your blessings and your labor there. He made it very clear there. Then he goes on to say in those verses, and I'm paraphrasing those verses here, when you pray, don't make long, flowery prayers to get the applause of men. In fact, the Lord said that when you pray, you should do it in secret. Matthew 6:6 says this, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret. Thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. So again, you're seeing the theme here, folks. Man, don't do things that make a scene for man's approval. Do it for God, and He'll bless you. Then in verses 9 to 15, giving an overview of those verses, Jesus Christ, He gives a template to pray. It's that famous prayer which has been nicknamed the Lord's Prayer. Now, let me just say one thing here about these verses. The Lord's Prayer was given as an example or a benchmark for prayer. It's not to be repeated over and over again mechanically. It's not. That's the point of it. To the point where you have no idea what you're saying because you memorized the words and you were thinking about what you're going to do today in your car and you're cooking while you're reading or while you're quoting those words, because it's nothing more than a mechanical process. It's memorized and your heart is not in tune with those words. So again, those verses there, they're wonderful verses about this matter of prayer, but not the mindset praying over and over and over again mechanically. That's not the point He's trying to make. Then in verses 16 to 18, He talks about fasting. And again, the same theme. He says that when you fast, don't let people know as if you're looking to get some award or medal. In Matthew 6, verse 18, He says this, that appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. So again, folks, I think you're understanding what's going on here. These 18 verses. The theme is of the chapter up to this point. It's simply, you're not doing things to please man or to put on a show. You're doing it to please God. That's the whole point. And you're not looking for glamour. You're not looking for hype or fame. And you're not doing what you're doing all because you want to please God. You're looking for man. You're not looking for man's approval. You're looking to please God. That's the whole point. Now, if people applaud you, if they commend you for doing good, so be it. But that is not your goal. Let me give you an illustration of just wanting to serve the Lord. I remember back when I was working for Pastor Angel, I had a fellow assistant, Brother Caleb Hansen. I mentioned him several times. Brother Hansen's pastoring up in Rochester, Minnesota, near Mayo Clinic, doing a great job there. It's amazing how God is blessing up there. And Brother Hansen, he's twice as hyper as I am, and he doesn't drink coffee. He's insane. He goes 24 hours a day. Him and I, when I first started a church, we had a soul-winning contest, because he always knocking doors, more than I am. And we wanted to knock doors, see who can knock the most doors, and man, I was going crazy. And I called him like 8 in the morning, 8:30, said, "Hey, Brother Caleb, it's 8:30, I'm out soul-winning, I'm doing some follow-ups." He goes, "Brother, I've been at it for 3 hours already." I was like, "Hang up the phone and I'll pray for you." That's him. Anyway, so Brother Caleb's a blessing. But when we were back there in Bourbonnais, he had, and of course, I didn't find this out from him, I found it from Pastor Angel. He was out doing follow-ups on the bus route. He was down in Kankakee there, kind of the lower income section, where it's kind of a more rougher area. And he was down there, and he said, or as Brother Angel told me, there was smoke coming out from one of the houses, this fire coming out. And he realized he knew the person that, because one of the kids rode the bus, and he saw a bunch of ladies out yelling for help, saying, my father's still in the house. The fire trucks hadn't showed up yet, it just had happened. Brother Caleb goes in that house. He finds the man. The man could not walk. He is crawling on his hands and knees. Puts the man on his back, and he crawls out the house, and he gets the man to safety. He saved the man's life, because the man probably, if the fire trucks didn't get in time, might have been burned to death or smoke inhalation. People found out about it. The Christian radio interviewed him. They gave him a plaque, things of that nature, for his service. You know what he did with that plaque? He put that plaque in his drawer in the desk. He never mentioned one thing about it. It would be no problem if he put it on his wall. I'm not trying to criticize if he put it on his wall. But the point I'm trying to make is simply, he just wanted to serve the Lord. That's it. Wasn't looking for fame or hype. And that's what God is saying here. He said, when you do things, don't do it to please man. Do it to please God. The main drive should be to please the Lord, not man. And even with godly things, such as giving to the poor, praying and fasting, which is all mentioned in chapter 6 here, even those things can become of no value. Listen, of no value if you do it to win the praise of man. Sometimes we get the mentality, and maybe no one in this room does, well, if I'm praying or I'm fasting or giving to the poor, man, I'm being spiritual, and I can tell the whole world about it. You're losing your blessing. You have your reward when you do that. That's what he says. So, again, you should be doing it to please the Lord, not man. Then we come to the verses we read tonight, verse 19 to 21. And again, if you look at the verses, at the first thought, it appears as if God, or Jesus, who's the author, who's the one speaking here, is trying to switch gears. He's talking about laying up treasures in heaven, not in earth. And at first glance, again, you might think, get the impression this is a completely different topic. But if you stop to think about it, it's dealing with the exact same topic, the priority being to please God and not man. But in this case, it would be to please God and not self, making God the priority. So let's look at these verses tonight. Just again, a few simple thoughts for you, trying to be a help to you, if I can. Let's look at verse 19. The verse starts off by saying, lay not up for yourselves treasures. That word treasures in the Strong's Concordance means the place in which good and precious things are collected and laid up. I think of, you might have all heard, you've all seen this, the stories or the cartoons or the comic books with a big treasure chest in the sand and the wooden box is open, all those beautiful jewels are glistening type of thing. I always picture that. That's not far off from the truth of what the Bible's talking about treasures, where those precious things. So treasures are those precious things, those things that are priceless, of great value to you. And the verse continues to say, lay not up for yourself treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. What is this treasures talking to? It's talking to referring to tangible things. Things where the moth and the rust can destroy it. Where a thief can break in and steal it. Things that degrade over time and eventually fall apart. It's those tangible things that can rust. The cars, the boats, the houses. It's also those things that a moth can get into and eat. The clothes. It's those things that can be stolen by a thief. The jewelry. The bicycles. The golf clubs. Golf clubs, he can have mine. the cash. So on and so forth. So Jesus Christ is saying, those priceless things, those things that are of the most value to you, precious, priceless, should not be things we kind of make as our treasures. That's what he's saying. Jesus said, if the most precious and priceless things are those tangible objects that are on this earth, you're doing wrong. It really is. I mean, this is where Jesus Christ, he, if you would, in a loving way, he's putting stepping on all of our toes. All of our toes. The great pull to make things a priority. We're not careful. Now, let me say this before I move on to the next verse. I am not saying that you cannot have things. Don't misunderstand. If God blesses you financially with a nice house, a nice car, I always tease you, get a nice car, give me a ride in it. A nice car, praise God for it, really. But that should not be your treasure. That's what he said in verse 19. That's what Jesus Christ said, the Son of God. It's not Jason Minkowski's words. It's not Grace Baptist Church. That's the Word of God. Okay. Now, if you look at verse 21, he said, "Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." If your desire is to spend more time on your boat than in your Bible, in the house of God, honoring God, then that's where your treasure is, that boat, because your treasure is where your heart is. And therefore, you're laying up treasures on earth, the exact opposite of what God said to do. I give the example, I know it's a silly example, but when I was younger, I loved video games, and of course, my mom had a lot of wisdom there. She wouldn't let us play a lot of video games and play outside, and I appreciate that, so I never really played a lot of video games when I was a kid. But they were very addicting to me. I remember when I had first gotten saved, I was 22 years old. I know this is kind of a bad example for a 22-year-old lack of character, but I was given for a Christmas present a PlayStation video game. I know it's a kid's game, I understand that, but there was a video game on there. I remember I got it for a gift every Christmas. I started playing the thing, and I found myself, when I was at work, when I was at church, I kept thinking about a stupid video game. Like, what in the world? And I was realizing, and you can make fun of me, that's fine. My fault for bringing it up. But I realized, wait a minute, that thing is consuming my mind. The Holy Spirit convicted me. I sold the thing a week later. Because I couldn't focus. Anybody said, man, that's, well, you got a problem. Well, probably. I have a lot of problems. But anyway, but you understand what I'm saying. Look, when a thing becomes a greater priority than the house of God, and let me say this, praise God you're here. But if you're here, you're thinking about that thing now, there's a problem. There's a problem. So, then in verse 20, Jesus Christ tells us what those precious things we should be focused on are and accumulating, or we should be laying up, or lay up as the Bible says. Those are the treasures in heaven. Those should be the ones we should lay up and accumulate. What are the treasures that are in heaven? Obviously, it's not material things, because you cannot take them with you. Job 1:21, Job said this, and he said, "Naked came out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return." We understand you can't take it with you. I remember hearing this, actually, as a gospel song. "You'll never see a U-Haul on the back of a hearse." A truth to that. Think about that for a second. I like documentaries. I love looking at world history. I just enjoy that stuff. And I remember watching a documentary on Egypt and all the pharaohs. You know, in their big tomb, what they put in their tomb, they put the ships, they put the boats, the gold. Because the idea is, in their belief, when you die, you go to this foreign world and you can actually have those stuff with you. You can't take it with you. You can't take it with you. So, again, the treasures in heaven are not those material things. Very simply, what are the treasures in heaven, Pastor? Very simply, it's doing the will of God. Let me give you some specifics. Go to Matthew 5, verse 11 to 12. Let me give you a few of the treasures in heaven. Matthew 5, verse 11 to 12. Here's one of the treasures laid up in heaven. It is Matthew 5, verse 11 to 12 says this: "Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." Hey, if anyone persecutes you, if anyone tears you down, if you take a step, if you take a stand for Christ and you are rebuked or hurt, if you will, for it, God says your treasure is great in heaven. Taking a stand for Christ. By the way, I hope it never happens in our lifetime, but the way things are going, this country could end up being that way before we know it. Another treasure to lay up, to another one of those treasures that are not of this earth but are of heaven, is loving your enemies. Go to Matthew 5, look at verse 43 and 46. Matthew 5, verse 43 and 46 says this: "Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. For if that," and then verse 46, "for if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same?" So in those verses, in verse 43 and verse 46, he said, "What reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same?" Meaning if you love your neighbor, everyone loves their neighbor. But loving your enemies, hey, loving your enemies gives you a reward. Another one, Matthew 10, verse 41 to 42, receiving a reward for that. Matthew 10, 41 to 42. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. He that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. So you have a reward for serving God's people. So again, that's a few examples. Being very general, looking at the big picture, it's serving the Lord and living for Him. Loving God, honoring God, obeying God, making God the priority. You're laying up treasures in heaven. Now, let me give you an illustration to bring this all together. Caleb, can I have your help here, buddy? Run up here if you would. And let me see, one more helper here. Who wants to? All right, Lindsay, I see a hand. Thank you. Come up here if you would. She didn't raise her hand, but I saw her doing something with her hand back there. All right. So here, why don't you start undoing that real quick. Let it go. Yeah. You go over here. You're going to walk as far as you can that way. And you walk that way, buddy, as far as you can. Okay. Keep backing up there, buddy, as you walk. Okay. That way. There you go. So keep going to the wall, son. There you go. I should have this already done in prior. So anyway, we have a word of testimony. There we go. All right. Okay. Keep going while I'm talking. You guys keep going. All right. So, let's pretend this is eternity. Okay? If we put time in terms of a tangible thing, this would be eternity. That's good enough for now. Just keep walking that way, Caleb. Keep going. Just keep going to the wall. Keep going to the wall. It's turning the thing. There you go. All right. If that's eternity, okay? Now I can compare it Come on. Get out here. You can't see it. I know you can't. But this little thing, which only I can see barely with my eyes, is a mustard seed. If that's eternity, this is your life. My question for you is, why in the world do people invest everything in something that lasts, in terms of eternity, like a blip? It's gone. Just think about that. And this doesn't even do justice, because eternity lasts forever. Yet people will spend all their life so concerned about their boats, their cars, their houses. That's their problem. I'm not against things. Don't misunderstand me, my friend. God bless you. Praise God. But that should not be the priority. Investing everything in something that's gone. The Bible says in the book of James, life is, what is your life? It's like a vapor that appears for a time and vanisheth away. Your life is like a vapor. That steam that comes out when you boil water, it's there and it's gone. And if any of you folks who are older in this room, you can certainly attest, time certainly flies. I am 44 years old. I can't believe how fast it goes. And it goes faster every year. And yet, born again Christians, saved by the grace of God, will spend most of their time on their things. That's their priority. They're investing it in something that's here and it's gone, and very little on eternity. You can just drop it. You guys have a seat. You can just drop it. Thanks, guys. I've heard again, this really doesn't do justice because, again, eternity lasts forever. I heard an illustration of, you want to put eternity in perspective, what eternity is like, which really hit home with me. And it kind of really, I think, is the best example I can give, illustration on what eternity would be like if we can put it into a tangible thing. If eternity was the Atlantic Ocean, which is humongous. You've been in the Atlantic Ocean, you can't see one end from the other, how many miles deep it is, how many gazillions of gallons of water it is. If eternity is the Atlantic Ocean, then our life is like an eyedropper and one drop of water that falls in the Atlantic Ocean. That's a good way to put it in perspective. So here's my thought for this evening, my one thought. Based on this illustration and what's been preached so far, it makes no sense for us to have our heart and treasure in this mustard seed portion. Again, according to James 4:14, your life is even a vapor that appeareth a little time and vanisheth away. I don't mean to be unkind, but I feel sorry for the born-again, saved Christian who gets so caught up in this world where these things become their treasure, where serving God is nowhere on the radar. Do you understand when you get to heaven and you're going to spend eternity with Jesus Christ, and you had no treasures laid up in heaven because all your focus was on the things that were moth and rust doth corrupt. No treasures in heaven. If you're in Matthew 6, look at verse 2 if you would. Matthew 6, verse 2. It says, therefore when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have the glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. The Lord says here, when you make a scene to let others know you're giving to the poor, you have your reward. That reward is so short-lived, and the person whose treasure is their boat, their car, their house, whatever you fill in the blank, their money, whatever you want to fill in the blank with, where that is where their heart is, they have the reward in that tangible thing. That's the reward right there. Listen, if your reward is your tangible thing, there it is, God says, there's your reward. When you leave and go to heaven, your reward's gone. It's still here on earth. It's gone. I understand what I'm preaching. I understand we're living in such a tangible-minded lifestyle. We're even the best of the best Christians, if we're not careful, get so sucked up. I need the latest and greatest. Again, I'm not against having things, but don't let them become the priority. Where your heart is, there your treasure be also. Life goes by so fast, and we're dead, and we go to heaven and have no treasure in heaven if all our treasures are laid up here on earth. So I'm done tonight, my friend, but listen. I'm not saying that you're sinful if you have a hobby or have nice things, but you are being sinful if that is your treasure and where your heart is at. Serve the Lord. Live for Him. Keep Him the priority, and where your heart and treasure is, and you'll build up treasure in heaven. And I promise you, my friend, if that's your desire, and you try to just resist the temptation to put your earth and your focus becomes on the things of eternity value, when you get to heaven, you'll hear, "Well done, thou good and when you get to heaven, those treasures are laid up in heaven. When you get to heaven, you can cast those crowns at the feet of Jesus Christ and praise God for it. And I promise it will be worth it all to have those treasures in heaven." Just be careful. This is one of those messages. Just be careful. Be careful, because we're always around things. We all have things. We all drove in cars. We all live in houses. We all have iPhones and cell phones and whatever else, and TVs and everything else. Just be careful. I'm not saying you can't have things. We all do. But don't make those things your priority. Because again, according to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 21, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Where's your treasure, my friend? That's where you'll find your heart. Let me ask you all, bow your heads and close your eyes.